Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on the Brian Lehrer Show, the de Blasio administration says yes and no to poor doors. They approved a mixed-income building on the Upper West Side begun in the Bloomberg years that would segregate affordable housing residents through a separate entrance. But the de Blasio administration says no new poor doors on his watch. We'll take a closer look. And how to improve our wasteful bathrooms today. Plus, are we too afraid of leaving our children of various ages without adult supervision? But first, did you see that investigation in the New York Times yesterday about the Moreland Commission, Governor Cuomo's blue ribbon panel set up last year to root out corruption in Albany? Critics of the panel have long argued that it's toothless. But if the Times is to be believed, it was Cuomo's office that was acting as the tooth extractor dentist, with allegations that top Cuomo aides blocked inquiries into corruption in the governor's office, engaged in explicitly political reprimands, and even had an administration mole of sorts on the commission. Thomas Kaplan of the New York Times, Albany bureau chief, one of the reporters who worked on the piece, will join us right now. Thomas Kaplan, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
Here is an ad that ran last summer with Governor Cuomo about the establishment of the Moreland Commission. And listen for the keyword, independent.
Trust is everything to me. That's why for all we've accomplished to fix state government, our job's not done until we've cleaned up the legislative corruption in Albany. So I am appointing a new independent commission led by top law enforcement officials from all across this great state to investigate and prosecute wrongdoing. The politicians in Albany won't like it, but I work for the people, and I won't stop fighting until we all have a government that we can trust.
A blue ribbon independent commission. And now he says, don't accuse me of stopping investigations into the governor's office. This commission wasn't independent. Explain what's going on here.
Well, the governor basically is saying now he didn't really mean independent in the way you might think of the word. He said it at the time because he wanted to bolster the credibility of this commission. He's now saying he created this commission, and therefore, of course, it wasn't independent. Of course, he controlled it. But certainly that is at odds with how he described it at the time when he created it, when independent was the word he used. He called it totally independent at one point.
Let's take an example from your story. What happened when the Moreland Commission wanted to issue a subpoena to Buying Time, which is a company that had purchased media for Democratic candidates, including the governor?
Right. So investigators were looking for possible violations of campaign finance laws. The leaders of this commission approved a subpoena to Buying Time. It was sent out, and immediately word got back to a man named Larry Schwartz, who's the top aide to Governor Cuomo. He was furious. He called one of the co-chairs, there were three co-chairs, of the Anti-Corruption Commission, and he said, this is wrong, and then offered a directive, pull it back. And the co-chair agreed. The subpoena was pulled back. And to many people on the commission, this was very troubling because it was sort of a flagrant instance of the governor's office intervening in an investigation that was already underway to shield, in this case, a vendor of the Democratic Party and of the governor. This company had placed advertisements for Governor Cuomo from scrutiny.
Does the Cuomo administration deny that the interaction between Cuomo aide Larry Schwartz and Moreland's DA Fitzpatrick took place?
Well, the Cuomo administration did not give precise answers to our questions. They said they gave advice to the commission. The co-chair we're talking about is Bill Fitzpatrick. He's the district attorney in Syracuse. We received a statement from him where he confirmed this interaction, although he said he agreed with it ultimately. He felt this particular ad buying firm was beyond the scope of the inquiry they were undertaking, and so that it was not inappropriate. But many people on this commission disagreed strongly with him and were troubled by this at the time.
You describe how mostly through the person of top Cuomo aide Larry Schwartz, the administration tried to impress upon the commission that their job was to investigate the legislature, not the governor's office. Was the governor's office part of their original mandate?
The original mandate was as broad as you could imagine. If you read the executive order that established this commission, it ticked off a number of different issues looking at campaign fundraising, lobbying, and Governor Cuomo was asked a number of times, can this panel look at you? And he said yes. He said the investigators could follow investigations wherever they would lead. One of the leaders of the panel, Bill Fitzpatrick, who we were just talking about, he was actually asked the day the commission was established, would you investigate Governor Cuomo, who's a prolific fundraiser? And he said he would. He said of the governor, he's looking for an independent commission and will do what Deep Throat told Bob Woodward to do, follow the money.
Though in their rebuttal, again, to come back to this question of independence, the administration says, quote, if the commission had in fact investigated the governor or the attorney general for that matter, we believe it would have been a major problem for the commission because precisely for the point that you raise in your article, the commission wasn't essentially independent. A commission appointed by and staffed by the executive cannot investigate the executive. It is a pure conflict of interest and would not pass the laugh test, unquote. So their argument in this 13-page letter that they sent to you, and maybe you want to talk more about this long
Sure.
article in the Times, which was replied to by a 13-page rebuttal memo by the governor's office, their argument is that Cuomo was encouraging them to focus on the legislature because any investigation into his office would have seemed fishy because it was his commission, even while he was taking ads broadcast to the public that called it independent.
Right. I mean, that's the contradiction. The point they're making now, they could have made a year ago. You could have said, this is my commission. It's appointed by the governor. It's an executive-appointed commission. It's not going to look at me. But he didn't say that at the time. He portrayed it as something that was going to look all across government. And he said explicitly, anything they want to look at, they can look at, and even named himself. He said they could look at me, they could look at the lieutenant governor. So it's a contradiction in that sense. The other thing that is worth noting, I think, is that the trouble that this commission encountered was not when they were trying to look at the governor or his office. It was when they were trying to look at allies of his, supporters of his, who certainly fell under the mandate of this commission. I mean, for instance, they were looking at campaign fundraising laws. Organizations like the Real Estate Board of New York, which has given millions and millions of dollars to political candidates, certainly would seem like an entity that could be scrutinized by this panel. But the governor's office indicated to the commission, you will not send a subpoena to the Real Estate Board of New York, a close ally of the governor.
And listeners, if you want to call New York Times Albany correspondent Thomas Kaplan about this report in the paper regarding the governor's office interfering with or directing the work of the commission, the Moreland Commission, as it's known, to investigate corruption in Albany, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And we're going to have another person join us in a minute who's been an ethics watchdog in Albany officially. But just to play devil's advocate here for a moment, on the governor's arguments, doesn't the vast majority of corruption in fact reside in the legislature? I mean, when we talk about bribery scandals or campaign finance fiascos, we're talking about local races and entrenched corruption, all those people who've been, you know, indicted or had to resign in disgrace. So why shouldn't the focus have been on the legislature? Maybe that's just where the problem was.
It's actually a pretty good point. And if you ask government watchdog groups, I mean, that is where the scandals have been for the most part. Having said that, one of the big issues this panel was looking at was politicians raising money for their campaigns. And the governor is the biggest political fundraiser in the state. He has made the most of a number of loopholes that government watchdog groups are upset about, and he's been a prolific fundraiser. And if you're looking at sort of money in politics, it would be hard to ignore, I think, the largest fundraiser in the state and sort of have a credible investigation. Having said that, you make a totally fair point. What is interesting, though, is the governor was asked this when he set up the commission, and he said, this is not about the legislature. Part of that, I think, was actually a sort of a legal response. There was some legal question of whether he could establish a commission to investigate another branch of government. So that posed a little bit of a tricky situation to him as well.
And the Moreland Commission was not only investigating, as I understand it, bribery in the conventional sense. They were investigating campaign finance. So you tell me if I'm wrong, but they weren't only looking at illegal corruption. They were looking at legal corruption, which so many people think is rampant in Albany, in Washington, you know, everywhere in politics practically, because a lot of big money can be given to politicians who make decisions about the people giving them big money. And policy recommendations did come out of the governor, and some of them got passed by the legislature. But that was what the Moreland Commission was charged to do, correct?
Yes, and actually that's one of the most important things to highlight. One of the co-chairs of the commission said to me early on when the commission was still running, you know, what was so striking to this person was not, you know, sort of the illegal acts or the suspected illegal acts that were uncovered, but what is perfectly legal in Albany, and yet you would be amazed that it's legal.
Yes. So this isn't just about criminals shaking down politicians or politicians as criminals shaking down potential money sources. This is about the nature of our democracy.
Exactly. It's the role money plays in state government in New York, which is an enormous one.
Thomas Kaplan, New York Times, Albany correspondent, and also with us for a few minutes now, David Grando, New York's former top ethics watchdog. That Cuomo letter yesterday to the Times referred to early critics of the Moreland Commission. Grando was certainly one of those from the moment the panel was formed. Hi, David Grando. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. How are you doing?
Good. What was your reaction when you read Thomas Kaplan and his colleague's story?
Well, first of all, I thought it was breathtaking how complete the coverage was of what went on. I mean, Tom must have had some pretty good sources inside a lot of those rooms, or someone's being very helpful, because you normally don't get a look at what goes on behind the curtain. And this was a real good opportunity to get a look at what I think happens all the time, quite frankly, in a lot of these ethics agencies, where you have amateurs trying to, you know, make believe they're part of the West Wing or something. So from that standpoint, I was pleasantly surprised to see that level of detail. Obviously, I wasn't surprised to see the outcome. I talked about it almost a year ago that this is what was going to happen. It's what always happens.
You told us off the air that you felt like there were too many lawyers on the commission. It was headed up by two DAs and one prominent attorney. Much of the rest of the commission was comprised of people from law enforcement. Who would have been better?
Well, this has been a pet peeve of mine when it comes to JJOC or JCOPE or any of those ethics agencies that are out there. They all end up appointing, you know, the best and the brightest lawyers, smart New York City lawyers. And then you end up arguing about what the word is means, and nothing gets done. I've said before, I'll say it again, you can go outside my house today, you can go outside where, you know, your offices are, walk around and find the next six people, tap them on the shoulder and say, please come serve on an ethics panel, and you'd be better served.
We've heard from Thomas about some of the specific instances of pressure applied by the Cuomo administration per their reporting. But in your history of having worked inside government trying to root out corruption, did you run into similar situations where people told you to stop poking around in a particular area?
Well, keep in mind, I developed a particular reputation for being someone that would not abide that type of behavior. And had anyone, Larry Schwartz-type person, called me up and told me to pull back a subpoena, I would have told them to go do something that you can't put on the radio to themselves. And then I would have held the press conference 2 minutes later to tell everyone what they just tried to do. You do that once or twice, and people get the message that either you're crazy and they stay away from you, or you're not the right person to be working in government, which was the case in my particular experience.
So were you rooting for Fitzpatrick, the lawyer for the Moreland Commission, to come on, get out there and hold a news conference already and shake those trees?
Well, it should have happened a long time ago. And, it's not just Mr. Fitzpatrick. It's, Kathleen Rice is now running for Congress, right? I think she has an obligation to come forward and tell people what her role was.
And she was a chair of the commission.
Yeah, absolutely. You have people like Albany County District Attorney David Soares. You're a sitting DA in Albany. You have an obligation, if you know there's something going on here from the governor's office interfering, do something about it. Barbara Bartoletti serves, from the good government groups. That, you know, they've been screaming and yelling for years about ethics and corruption. Well, you know what, Barbara? You got a chance to be inside the room. What are you going to do about it, and why are you now talking about it? It would have been much more useful for these people to be talking about it 6 months ago instead of waiting to be outed by Mr. Kaplan and his story in the New York Times. And then all of a sudden, there's a rush of people on this Moreland Commission to take the approach of gambling in this establishment. I'm shocked.
One person, Preet Bharara, U.S. attorney for the Southern District, launched a probe earlier this year into Moreland's actions when the governor disbanded the commission. So we don't know yet what he's going to come out with, but do you think there should be arrests? Was there something illegal here or just unethical? What's the could the U.S. attorney find something that's indictable against the governor? I mean, what's the worst-case scenario that's realistic in your opinion?
I mean, obviously, I don't have the level of knowledge that you need to comment on that. But I'll say this, from having watched ethics up close for a dozen years and then as a consultant for the last eight, the only way things are going to change is if somebody gets indicted. Now, whether that's at Moreland, Jacob, because remember, it's not just Moreland where this type of activity occurs. I'm convinced it happens at the Joint Commission on Public Ethics among those commissioners as well. Someone needs to get in there, take a good hard look, scare some of these smart New York City lawyers that think they have all the answers, and get them to do the right thing. Just stand up and do the right thing. Not say you're doing the right thing, but actually do it.
And Thomas Kaplan from the New York Times, as some people are listening to David Grando here, as well as to you, they're writing in on our website asking why this is only coming out now, including saying even Preet Bharara and the Times held their fire, that people should have recognized that the structure of the committee, the Moreland Commission, was corrupt or inept from the start. Do you want to react to that? Was everyone slow to call this out?
Well, one thing that our interviews and reviewing documents found was that there was quite a bit of discussion within the commission early on about these frustrations and discussions of a number of things. For instance, some of the DAs on the panel discussed a mass resignation in protest. There was a thought about perhaps drafting a memorandum of understanding that the governor would be asked to sign saying, I will not interfere with the Moreland Commission. But I think what ultimately happened was a lot of these people thought, going to war with Governor Cuomo was not going to make a bad situation, it would just make a bad situation worse, and thought that hopefully the pressure would subside, or at least even if there were going to be some limitations on this commission, it could do good work in other ways. There certainly, is not a shortage of areas worthy of scrutiny in Albany from an ethics standpoint. So I think that's what happened. Having said that, there was, some very good reporting along the way in the fall, the Daily News in particular, shedding light on some of these reports of interference. But I think a lot of people on the commission felt that rather than blowing it up and saying this is not workable, it was best to see, what could be accomplished.
David Grando, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, please. Because I've been in the rooms, when those kinds of conversations take place. And I'll tell you, the best thing you can do, bad things happen to good people in dark places. And all these folks trying to figure out a way to make this work, the easiest way to make it work is just go tell the truth. If someone, 9 months ago had come forward from this commission and said, I'm not comfortable with the interference from Larry Schwartz, I think you would have had a completely different result than covering it up, keeping it quiet, trying to work around it. Everyone's afraid of the confidentiality. You need to do these things in the open. Keeping things confidential is not the recipe for success here. And what you need are people with the courage, even if it's the courage to pick up a phone anonymously and call someone like Tom and tell them, here's what's going on. Here's a tip for you. Let me give you, let me leak. They use the word leaking like it's a bad thing. When it comes to government corruption, leaking is a good thing.
David Grando, New York's former top ethics watchdog, thank you for joining us for a few minutes today.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Thomas Kaplan from the New York Times, who co-authored that long investigative report that ran in yesterday's paper about the governor's office, Governor Cuomo's office, interfering with, if you want to look at it that way, or directing and limiting the work of the Moreland Commission that he appointed to investigate corruption in New York State. 212-433-WNYC. And Andy in Hastings-on-Hudson, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, hi. So I'm just trying to get inside the governor's head and wonder, I mean, this is such a huge self-inflicted wound. Now he's made himself look like he's the center of the corruption in New York State by, you know, appointing this independent commission that was going to investigate everybody, including him, and then first crippling it and then closing it down. And then, you know, all the stuff comes out about it. Now, I mean, not only does he seem corrupt, but he seems stupid for bringing this whole thing on himself. And I don't think he's a stupid man. So maybe your guests would like to speculate about what he was thinking when he did it in the first place. I just don't even understand what he's up to with that.
I have a guess, but Thomas, he asked you, what do you think?
Well, I mean, that's actually the sort of question I think a lot of people are wondering, because it was a self-inflicted wound. I think the governor didn't think it would actually get this far. He originally threatened to appoint this commission because he wanted to get the legislature to pass new ethics laws. They kind of called his bluff, which maybe he didn't think was going to happen. And then I think he thought once he did appoint the commission, maybe they would capitulate and say, okay, we'll pass these laws that you want. And they didn't. They went to court. They fought it. And then he was kind of stuck where he had this commission actually conducting investigations with no easy way out. But what he was thinking, I think, in terms of a long-term plan, is anybody's guess.
But they did pass some laws, and I'm going to play a clip of the governor on this show talking about that in a second. And what my guess would be is that the governor was trying to very clearly set himself up as separate and apart from the legislature, which was where all this reported corruption was taking place. He impaneled this commission. They were going to make recommendations to him, and then he was going to get something passed by, you know, coercing the legislature. I don't mean that in a bad way, to do something that limited their own opportunities for corruption. And, you know, politically, maybe it has worked out, because conversations like this make a lot of people's eyes glaze over. And those people who read your long article in the Times or listen to this conversation, you know, may not be most people. And what they know is there's the corrupt legislature and there's the, you know, the pretty clean governor who investigated them and got stuff done. So when I asked the governor earlier this year, actually, I guess it was last December, here he talks about the recommendations that they did come up with and the next steps.
Yeah, I think the Moreland Commission basic point is when the combination of money and politics is not a good combination. Now, you can say, yes, we know that. We knew that from the Fira Commission. We know that in Washington. We know that in every state government. And it's true. My point to the legislature, Brian, is we can still do more, and we need to do more. Even after everything we did, there were then a rash of indictments during this past year, and it's a work in progress, reforming government, and I think the legislature can and should do more, and I think the Moreland Commission report makes that case very well. I want a legislative resolution. I don't want just a quick fix. I want the law changed so we have an even more transparent system that people trust and people have faith in it.
So that was the governor on this show in December. Remind us, Tom, what did they get passed? They passed some kind of ethics reform, not nearly as much as the watchdogs wanted or the governor officially asked for. What did they get done that led the governor to then disband the Moreland Commission and Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney, say, incomplete?
It was a fairly modest package of reforms, stronger bribery laws, stronger corruption laws, improved enforcement at the State Board of Elections, which is an agency that has really not done anything by the way of enforcement, and a pilot program for public campaign financing, which was kind of ridiculed right from the start. So it was a fairly limited package, certainly not on the scale of what government watchdog groups or even the Moreland Commission had sought.
And I don't know if this is a step too far, but people are on our website are bringing up parallels with Governor Christie in New Jersey. And, you know, it may not be Bridgegate, but the parallels that they're suggesting have to do with creating a culture of intimidation by the governor as opposed to accountability.
Well, Governor Cuomo has been very successful at advancing his agenda, in part because of the way he approaches Albany. He is kind of a master of the, you know, different powers at his disposal. And at times, he has been quite successful working in an environment where not a lot gets done because of his approach. Having said that, this is the flip side of that, where he tried, I mean, what was sort of a crafty move, threatened to appoint a commission to pressure the legislature to do something they didn't want to do. And if it had worked, we would not be talking about any of this, but it didn't work. And here is kind of the messy aftermath.
Thomas Kaplan, reporter in Albany for the New York Times, one of three who wrote that long investigative piece published in yesterday's print edition and on the website the night before that about Governor Cuomo's relationship with the Moreland Commission that he appointed to investigate corruption in Albany. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.